Some take this as disparaging Our Lady. But who is it that said to the Father's messenger, "Be it done unto me according to your word," from Luke 1? And who is it who continued in prayer with the disciples in the upper room until the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:14? Holy Mary does the Father's will from the day of the Annunciation. She is a believer, a disciple of her Son. And from the day of the Annunciation, she uniquely believes in him. She uniquely follows him. She not only gives birth to the church, she alone, until he calls his first disciples, is the church. The Virgin is made church. Yes, the Virgin is made church. The Virgin is everything the church is, from the moment of her yes to God. But given his devotion to the Holy Cross, one cannot but hear in St. Francis's image of the Virgin made church something of that moment when from that cross our Lord gives his mother to his apostle John. The church is a sheepfold. Under the one shepherd, there are shepherds and there are sheep. And here in the dying that will issue in his return to his Father's right hand, the one shepherd places the foremost first of his disciples. Actually, the thing ends abruptly. I'm sorry, I didn't notice that before. I'm just going to have to assume that he's saying the foremost of his disciples in love is placed as the son of the Virgin Mary. Okay, so enough of that. This is, I think, a beautiful meditation on Virgo Facta Ecclesia. And the essence of it is the fact that Our Lady was at the Annunciation, she becomes our Lord's first disciple. She becomes the first hearer of the word, and she receives the word. Now, St. Augustine says very delicately that Our Lady received the word first in her heart or her mind before she received the word in her womb. So this idea that she is his first disciple is a patristic thing. And this is built up sort of in the medieval theology as well, and we get it from St. Francis's beautiful prayer of devotion. So she is the Virgo Facta Ecclesia, the Virgin made church. Now, later on, I said I'm going to get to Dom Guéranger and his take on Our Lady being the church on Holy Saturday. But we will continue through some of those meditations that I told you about from that piece, Two Perfect Women. So I was impressed at one point when I was reading a book by Venerable Emmanuel d'Alzon, who's the founder of the Augustinians of the Assumption, a French religious founder. The book is called The Weight of God, The Spiritual Doctrine of Emmanuel d'Alzon, and it's by Father Georges Tavard, who is an Augustinian of the Assumption. They're also called the Assumptionists. So here's a beautiful piece that he has talking about. So he's quoting Father d'Alzon, and Father d'Alzon here is speaking about the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, saying something very, very profound. And from here, I'm going to launch into this comparison, this point-by-point comparison between these two women, Our Lady and the Church. So here's Father d'Alzon. It is admirable that the same words of Holy Scripture can be applied to the Church and to Mary. In the office of this day, that is for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, these words are sung in honor of Mary. Quote, "You are beautiful, O my beloved, and there is no spot in you," end quote. But St. Paul applies them already to the Church, in which there is neither wrinkle nor stain. Now he's referring to Ephesians 5:27, and I'm going to put a little footnote there because I'm going to talk about that passage later. I'll quote it at greater length. To the church and to Mary, the vision of the apocalypse, where a woman appears clothed with the sun, having the moon under her feet and 12 stars as a crown on her head, is also applied. And to sharpen the similitude, as it were, we have seen in our days, now he's speaking in the 19th century, shortly after the infallible definitions of Pius IX, that is, of the papal infallibility defined at Vatican I and of the Immaculate Conception.